Chicago Sports Conversation is now.
To the goal line, touchdown! Leighton Thorson with his second one-yard touchdown run, and that should put it away.
The Beat.
I don't know that we exposed Mitch a whole lot, but I can also say anytime you trot between those lines, you're exposed.
That's what I want to do every day, every year. Year in and year out, just be consistent, play hard, stay on the field, and stay healthy. It's a byproduct of that.
On 720 WGN.
Happy Labor Day weekend. Some of us are working. Happy to be here, too. I'm Mark Carman. He's Kevin Powell.
Slaving away on Labor Day weekend, Carm. That's what we do. The B takes no days off except Monday through Friday.
I mean, some of us care about this radio station to the end of the earth.
Exactly. Somebody's got to be here.
That's right. You know,
steer the ship.
That's exactly right. Okay, that's enough.
Slaving away for 3 hours.
It's a real tough gig here.
Yes.
Real tough gig to talk.
Right on Michigan Avenue.
Dan Long working, never misses a show, missed one in 2 years. Hashtag always here, Dan Long.
But Dan Long is an actual monster. Like you and I, we have the easy gig for the next 3 hours. Long's been here for hours.
This is true. So we're going to have a ton of fun today.
Yes.
That's what we do, the old Carman KP show, 312-981-7200. Did you pull that thing I asked you to pull yesterday, Dan Long? Any chance? Not yet? Maybe.
Probably not, no.
Probably not, no? Okay.
I hope somebody sends that to Nick D for out of context.
In the future, we're going to use it in the open. I'll do a production meeting on the air. Dave Ennett yesterday.
Oh, I do have it.
You
yes,
do have
Kevin.
It?
Yep.
Okay. Let me know when you have it officially, and then I'm going to point at you to use it. I've been so excited about this all day long.
I have it officially.
All right. You can call the show at 312-981-7200 or...
Twitter, baby.
At Kevin Powell. At
720.
At K Powell 720.
You got it.
And at the Carm. One more time. And on Twitter.
Twitter, baby.
I love that.
Isn't that
Mr. Catco Cats.
Middle of the, he was giving all these details about Nevada yesterday, and Ted Albrecht asked him, how do you know all that? He's like, and he was like.
Twitter, baby.
And that's outstanding.
And that was the highlight of the Northwestern broadcast, which, by the way, thank you for saying nice things about the
broadcast. You guys really did. Sounded great. Tuned in right at 2:30 or 2 to hear the beginning of the Northwestern season. Were you a little nervous yesterday?
Always
for
nervous.
A little bit?
Always nervous.
You're a huge Cats fan, correct?
Oh, you're talking about during the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like they were, I mean,
absolutely.
Especially over the past few years, we've seen some struggles in week one. Not to bring up that Illinois State match.
9-7.
The Redbirds knocked off the Cats.
Fear the Bird win yesterday? I know they kicked off at 6:30.
Yeah, they destroyed Butler.
Destroyed Butler.
I did not know Butler had a football program until Illinois State released their schedule, and it said week one, Butler. I guess Butler has a football program?
The big Butler Bulldog football program, not anywhere on the level of Fear the Bird.
No, even close.
Can you name a Fear the Bird football player?
Jake Colby, the quarterback.
Jake Colby?
Yes.
Anybody else?
I'm blanking right now.
Okay, that's
but
okay.
Jake Colby to the promised land. Coach Speck, that's all you need to know. Which was Coach Speck bobblehead last night. I need to email my people at ISU to try to get a couple of those bobbleheads.
Were you in the stands? This is what we wanted to start the show talking. Were you an in-the-stands Illinois State Redbird football fan when you were at college? Did you go to games?
Oh, yeah. Well, I would call the games as well for these.
Did you really?
For the student radio station.
KP!
Yeah, I did play-by-play back in the day. I did college hoops, and I did college football.
Can we get any of that tape to roll today?
Hopefully not. It was a rotation. Like, I wasn't the main guy. You know, they gave people, you know, I would do like 2 games a year for football. I would do a handful of basketball games. It was a rotation of a few of us.
I mean, if you have that somewhere in an email, I'll go full KP highlight coming out of one of these breaks and just celebrate your talents.
I should look for the tape of the Missouri Valley championship game, college hoops, when Doug McDermott broke my heart.
You have that tape?
I got to look for that. But I was doing play-by-play for the championship game. And Doug McDermott and Creighton knocked off my Redbirds in the championship game after ISU had upset Wichita State, which I believe was ranked that time. Huge victory down at Arch Madness in St. Louis. God, I love that time of year.
I mean, I would kill to hear some KP play-by-play.
It's probably just absolutely horrible.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's great, period. And I don't think it's horrible. I bet it's outstanding. Mm-hmm. And second of all,
like as a student broadcaster, you literally just learn on the job.
Right.
I mean, I guess we're all sort of learning on the job as we go, and we try to get better. But like, you're just sort of thrown into it. Like, hey, go call the game. Like, I didn't talk to anybody about play-by-play tips or anything.
Yeah.
In regard to that, you know what I mean? You just go out there and you listen to other broadcasters and try to you know, mirror what they're doing.
And now I'm completely distracted looking for some Carm play-by-play.
Yeah, did Add the Carm do play? What'd you do it for?
I mean, the highlight, I think, of my broadcaster career, I would say this, is when I got to fill in for Dave Ennett and do a Northwestern basketball game down at Illinois.
That's huge.
It was,
how nervous were you?
Beyond. I had no...
You don't want to let down Mr. Cat. He's giving you the opportunity. Two, I mean, that's a lot of pressure.
It was awesome.
Play-by-play is very competitive to land a play-by-play gig, and people will kill for those opportunities, Carm. How'd it go?
I did. I killed at least Jordan Burnfield to get to do that game. I shot him in the back. Didn't kill him, just injured him. It was great. It was with Bob Hildebrand. The Cats lost in overtime to Illinois down in Champaign. And I've never been more tired after any broadcast. I put so much into it. I got out of there. It was like I went from up to the ceiling energy wise to literally the floor and went to sleep on the old bus. But nobody cares about that. Let's get into the show here. We're going to talk a ton of college football, by the way, at 3:35. Jim Harbaugh in Michigan, you're flat out weird. Huge win for Northwestern. Biggest upset in college football happened yesterday. We'll do all that at 3:30. But so the Bears season is here, and I think we got to start, after we take a quick timeout or come on back, and analyze what goes on in the mind of John Fox. Because if you can figure it out, I think you're better than at least me. I don't know about you too, KP. Because do you have any idea what goes on in the head of John Fox?
Not a whole lot. Not a great clue of what goes on in the head of John Fox.
So he nearly got his quarterback of the future killed. And it was for no reason, so I think we should talk about that coming back here. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city, watch Chicago's best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. Football is here next, 720 WGN.
Well, anytime you go out there, it's a risk. I mean, truth be told, I think I saw a journalist refer to some point we won't be able to practice anymore. But football's a rough game, no doubt. You never want to see people get hurt, but it is part of the game. And so I don't know that we exposed Mitch a whole lot, but I can also say anytime you trot between those lines, you're exposed.
The always confusing / minorly interesting, very well-liked in the Bears locker room, John Fox. It's a 720 WGN. This is the Beatty's Kevin Powell. I'm Mark Carmen. We're with you till 6 o'clock. So I'm assuming that you saw the game, but if you didn't, or actually I'm not assuming, I'm assuming you heard about the game. I don't think most people were watching Bears preseason football.
Well, see, I would counter that with, and we talked about this, Roe and I were talking about it, we had a Hogue on Thursday afternoon. Like, that was probably the most looked forward to preseason finale in Bears history because Mitch Trubisky was starting. Like, there was a lot of interest there.
That's true, and what's also true is that you probably didn't think that Mitchell Trubisky was ever going to come back in the game.
No.
And they're down.
You shouldn't have.
And you shouldn't have. And so it's 25-0. And Connor Shaw, first off, gets dinged, and it looks like he's got a concussion. So they pull him off the field. He didn't want to leave the field. This is about 2.5 minutes to go. He pleads his case on the sideline, gets himself back in the game, and then he gets hurt for real. So Mitchell Trubisky had to come in twice in the final 2.5 minutes.
Not ideal.
Here's a guy that you need to be healthy, but you started him in the game, which, by the way, I think is cool. Like, I thought he should have played. The guy's a rookie. He needs reps. Right. He should start. Let him play for real. You can't put him in bubble wrap. But if you are going to start him and then hand him the football off every time, well, then you would think, if you were John Fox, what happens if Connor Shaw gets hurt? I'll have a backup ready in the case that happens. By the way, Connor Shaw's been hurt before. All that would have made sense. Then, okay, how about this? I forgot to do that. People make mistakes. People forget. I forget all the time. I get that. Okay, oh no. Well, I'll just have Trubisky hand the football off like I did at the start of the game. No, actually, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to call a screenplay, which is the most dangerous play, or one of them, for a quarterback. You're letting guys come at him to try to hit him. You run a... Are you kidding me? And then on the last play, you call timeout on third down so you could run one more play, and then you put him in the gun, and he gets sacked on the final play of the game. It is the most illogical, bizarre, You're the head coach of a football team making millions of dollars, and nothing of what you did made any sense whatsoever. They were all fireable offenses, in my opinion.
I can't argue, really, with anything you just said there. What I really didn't get is why Mark Sanchez wasn't an option. Hoge asked Fox after the game, was Mark Sanchez an emergency quarterback? Was he available? And he just said no. And he wouldn't give an explanation why. Why wouldn't you have Mark Sanchez available?
Right.
Why would you put Mitch Trubisky in the final few minutes when those are guys that are just trying to stand out? That's somebody trying to make a play, trying to make a team, trying to be a hero on the field, trying to make a big hit on a quarterback and stand out. You do not want the future of your team out there with players like that.
And it seems like they want Mark Sanchez to be on the football team. So I understand that he's a veteran. Wouldn't you want to get him some reps? Maybe the last reps that he's going to get all season. Wouldn't it make more sense to have him out there, or at least have him as a backup to Connor Shaw, who you're probably not going to keep and didn't keep? All of it is really bizarre. So, simple question for you, 312-981-7200. Like, what would you trust John Fox to do? Because, like, he's so all over the map here. I feel like he's the type of guy who goes to Burger King, gets in the drive-thru, goes double Whopper with cheese, let me get a large fry, throw in the apple pie. Do they have apple pie at Burger King? I think they do. It's just not very good. And let me get a Diet Coke. Let me throw me that Diet Coke. Or if he was a baseball manager, you'd be down three runs and he'd be like, hey, yo, drop down a bunt over there, would you? Yeah, no, I know there's two outs of the night and we're down three and you're the tying one. Just drop down a bunt. You'll surprise him. Like, none of his logic. And he's proven this, by the way, when it matters, too. It's not just a preseason game. When he calls timeouts, when he doesn't call timeouts, his whole concept of how to get through a football game is just off. But he's loved by the players. The players love him, which is one of the reasons why he survived in the league through now three teams. I mean, what would you trust John Fox to do, Kevin? You got it? Seriously.
Not a whole lot. Would not trust John Fox. Sorry, I'm dying here. Battling through a cold today, Carm.
You're all right.
Yeah, not a whole lot with John Fox. And, you know, we saw it last year with his play calling when you had one of the best rushing attacks in football in Jordan Howard. And the offensive line was pretty strong. And they're throwing the ball. And they're throwing the ball. And they don't have a quarterback. I mean, his play calling last year was extremely questionable.
If I'm Ryan Pace and I'm sitting up there and I just traded up two draft picks to pick this guy number two overall and there's 2:30 left in the game and we probably had a decision that we're going to start him and let him hand the ball off, and there he is back there throwing screen passes and you're calling timeouts with 6 seconds to go so we could have one more play where he might get killed in the last preseason game down 25-0, I might have shot him on the spot if I was Pace. Hey, John, come up to my office. Yeah, John, I know it's the last preseason game. You're fired. I can't trust you with this kid. I don't want you raising my quarterback. Mike, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Carm. Hey, KB. You know what? My head was about to explode after that fifth or sixth running play, and I didn't even make it past. And what you just described, I didn't see it, you know, in that game at the end. I would have really lost it. You know what? I was looking to really, really cheer on this team this year. But as long as Fox is there, I can't do it. I'm not even going to root for this team this year. I can't do it.
So you're...
I'm not going to waste my time. I as a fan, I'm like, you know what? I'm looking for a way to really like this team again. Ever since Fox has been there coaching, I didn't like him before. Everything that he's done is just questionable. And you were saying his logic, he has no logic. He has no common sense. I don't understand. And how do you know that you say he's liked by the players? You're 100% part of that?
Yes, Mike. The people that I've talked to who are in the know and cover the team, they say that he's very well liked by the players. I mean, I'm not sitting there saying that I've talked to every player.
I believe you. I believe you. But my point is this. I mean, what culture, what message, what environment is he building amongst his players if they're doing what they're doing with this team and why not let the kid, you know, why not let him allow him to show his talents in that game, throw the ball a little bit, you know, have some kind of semblance of what he really could be learning.
Or
what did he really learn by handing off the ball?
Yeah, or don't play him. Either play him or don't. One of the two there, and
I'm not a Bears fan this year. Again, I'm not doing it.
Mike, first of all, I don't want to call you a liar, But I think you're being a little untruthful here. I think come next Sunday when it's the Bears and the Falcons, I think you're going to be there, baby.
I think you're going to be there.
You're going to be calling Hamp, OB, and Cos, Mike. I can feel it.
Great show, dude. Take care.
Thanks, see you, Mike.
People do that all the time, right? I swear I won't root for him. I won't do it. And I'm, by the way, I'm the same guy. I just want to call myself out. I swear to God, Cubs, it doesn't matter to me anymore. They won the World Series. I don't care. This whole season's been a complete roller coaster. I've been living and dying with them. We just lie to each other. We lie to ourselves.
By the way, 3 o'clock was the deadline for NFL teams to set their 53-man roster. A few notable moves by the Bears. Lamar Houston placed on injured reserve. There are some reports he may just agree on an injury settlement and move on from Chicago. It sounds like Lamar Houston's days in Chicago could be over.
Injured in the last preseason game.
Kadeem Carey placed on injured reserve. Mark Sanchez on the team still. Jay Howard, defensive lineman, was waived. Tanner Gentry was cut, but likely will be retained for the 10-man practice squad. So a few moves are still coming even after the deadline.
And the Bears, they released Jeremy Langford, Ben.
Which this just shows you the NFL. A year ago, he was your Week 1 starter.
100%.
He was your Week 1 starter,
and people were super high on him too.
Really high on him.
Yeah.
Now he's no longer a member of the Bears. Just a year later,
Langford gone. Ben Broniker, the tight end, was cut, and the long snapper, Jeff Overbaugh, is a part of the mix here. New long snapper. Patrick Scales blew out his knee, so they needed a long snapper.
Bring back Manley.
I was going to say, bring back Pat Manley. He gave up his radio gig. He's around. Get him out there. Pat Manley could do it. Maybe. WGN. Happy Sunday. Hope you're having a great Labor Day weekend. Kevin Pyle in a tremendous group chat with his family that he can't share on air.
Yes. I know we just discussed what we're going to talk about now, which is college football, but can I give a little love to Lucas Giolito?
Sure.
7 innings, 10 strikeouts, just 1 walk, and 3 hits allowed, 1 run.
White Sox beating Tampa Bay, or leading Tampa Bay 6-1 right now in the 8th. Is that right? Am I seeing that right?
That is accurate. Eloy Jimenez and Michael Kopech, a couple of the other top prospects for the White Sox, will be in town this week, not playing. The Tuesday, though, will be at Guaranteed Rate Field. And we'll hear from those guys as the minor league season comes to a close.
And Eloy.
What a year both of them are having. Eloy, by the way, if you don't remember that name, it's the one that would involve with the Jose Quintana Cubs Sox deal.
Who could be pitching a little bit better. Calling me crazy. I don't want to be...
Cub fans are so bitter about Jose Quintana.
We are.
They seriously are. Like, I have friends who are dire Cub fans, and they are just ripping Quintana right now. I'm like, relax. First of all, he hasn't even been that bad. Like, he's had a couple of clunkers, and he just hasn't been... This whole year, he just hasn't been that sharp. But, like, last game, you know, he gave up, what, 2 or 3 first-inning runs? He ends up going 6 innings, giving up just 3 runs, and like, that's a solid outing. And people are just hating on Quintana. I don't get it.
He was, because Cub fans thought that,
like, they thought they were getting like a 1B, like a 2 right. in a rotation. He's just not that.
Right. I mean,
maybe at his peak a year or two ago, I think Quintana is a legit like 2-3 in a good rotation.
3.
Okay, 3.
He's a 3.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's pitched like a 2 in the past.
Listen, and I liked the trade. I thought it made sense.
Still does make sense.
And I guess it still does make sense. That's fine too. Cubs are down, by the way, 3-1.
If they don't make that deal, who's in their starting rotation next year?
It's great. They absolutely needed pitching.
He stabilizes the rotation. Jake Arrieta is going to get like $150 to $200 million this offseason. He's not going to be with the Cubs next year.
Right. If you're not going to pay Jake, it made even more sense. Plus, by the way, it gives you the financial flexibility. If you wanted to pay him, you could. We'll do a bunch more Cubs coming up at 4 o'clock as the game will be over then.
Javi Baez left that game, by the way, with, quote, wooziness.
Yeah, I got my hot take on Javi. And
took a knee to the head.
Knee to the head, concussed, probably, most likely. Don't know that for sure. So, okay, we'll do Cubs coming up here. Let me, first of all, as we talk a little college football, congrats to Northwestern.
Go Cats, nice start. Little worried about midway through that game when they're losing. You're like, what's going on here? This is Nevada. They should be beating Nevada. Northwestern's had some problems in week one over the past few years.
24-point favorites, down at half, by 10, comeback, win 31-20. Clayton Thorson, junior quarterback, 28 of 38, 352 yards, couple of touchdowns, did throw one bad interception from his own end zone, which was generally awful. But I got to tell you, that guy keeps going. He very well may be in the NFL next year. He's a prototypical NFL quarterback in size. He's got the arm strength. He can move. Decision-making will be a thing for him. But
well, that's the thing. I thought he looked like a complete different quarterback just in week one compared to the past 2 years. Like, right. We knew he had all the skill and the talent to be great, and he just looks different out this year. Like, he was making some incredible throws, like throws you have to have confidence to make.
Yep. And stepping up in the pocket, under pressure, making big plays. I think he looks like an NFL quarterback. Look, he's better already than Trevor Siemian ever was at Northwestern. And Trevor Siemian starting for the Broncos week one. Now, that's partly a Denver problem.
Brock Osweiler back with the Broncos. Did you see that?
I did. And
what a ride that dude's having.
So, yeah, Denver, just so we're clear, you'd rather have Brock Osweiler than my guy Colin Kaepernick. I know people don't like Kaepernick for whatever reason. But...
a lot of people do like him.
And a lot of people do. Brock Osweiler, you want Brock Osweiler back? Kaepernick sitting there? It's offensive. But so the Cats get a nice win. I want to talk about Michigan and Florida for a second here in two ways. Number one, they play the game at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Michigan got $6 million for playing a week one football game yesterday. $6 million, which is just crazy. And... if you were a gambler yesterday, I don't know if you're out there, but if you liked the under, which was 45.5, the whole game, it looked phenomenal. 26-17 with under 3 minutes to go. Florida the football, no problem. They're not going to score. Sack, fumble, rumbling, stumbling to the end zone. Touchdown, 33-17. Points completely inconsequential. Michigan just gets the football back. They take a knee. It's over. Instead, sack, fumble to the end zone, 33-17. Rough loss for the gambler. Rough loss for the gambler who had the under there. You had it the whole way.
That's a throw a phone situation. That's a framed picture situation.
Yeah.
That's throw a chair situation.
You needed one stop. Just give me a stop and I'm good.
That's heartbreak city right there.
You get the stop, but you got the sack, you got the fumble, and you got the touchdown. All right. More importantly than that, or at least more interesting, even more interesting than that. Michigan yesterday got four field goals from their redshirt freshman, now sophomore kicker. His name is Quinn Norden. He kicked a 55-yarder. He kicked a 50-yarder. He had a 30-yarder. He had a 25-yarder. All right? Quinn Norden. How did Michigan get this fantastic kicker? Well, Jim Harbaugh really wanted him, and Jim Harbaugh called up Quinn Norden and the Norden family, and was like, yo, little Quinn, my guy, my kicker-to-be, how about this? I want to come on over and have a sleepover. I want to come to your house and tell you how much I love you and why I want you to kick for me. I want to sleep over. Is that cool? And the Norden family said, okay, Jimmy, come on over, baby. Coach Harbaugh's going to sleep at our house. He slept over at his house.
It's weird.
How weird is that?
It's effective, though. Is it effective? This is an actual quote from Jim Harbaugh from a couple years ago. I truly believe the number one natural steroid is sleep, and the number two natural steroid is milk, whole milk. Three would be water, four would be steak.
So what does that mean?
He's a big sleeper.
He just wants to come and sleep over?
He's a big sleep guy.
Hold on a second. You were a high school football offensive lineman athlete. Little undersized, so you weren't going to play on the college level.
Nah.
But okay, let's just say that you had that ability in you. What would mom and dad KP think if some coach at whatever level really wanted you and called up the house and was like, hey, Kevin, can I sleep over? And you go, mom and dad,
Coach Harbaugh wants to sleep over?
Coach Harbaugh wants to sleep over. If I was the parent there, I'd be like, okay, not sleeping over, not going to that school. There are a lot of schools out there. That dude's weird. That dude's in your space. That dude doesn't know boundaries. That guy doesn't know what's cool. You're not sleeping over at my place in your khaki pants, man. What, I mean, that's just... That, that, I think it makes him look ridiculous.
Jim Harbaugh prescribed to a player with a bit of pneumonia whole milk and push-ups to get well.
I mean, it's obviously I'm obviously wrong.
It's his home remedy.
Michigan is killing Florida. He's rebuilt
10 players drafted last year.
I mean, he's rebuilt the program overnight, basically.
They're a powerhouse again.
3129.
That's weird.
312-981-7200.
Grown men should not do sleepovers ever.
Is this a good recruiting tool? Would you let a grown man sleep over at your place? Like, let's say, for instance, you were going for a job. I'm thinking about, you know what, I'm a free agent right now. I'm thinking about my next move in insurance. I got this guy and I got that guy. They both got big offers for me. I'm a big insurance guy. This dude wants to sleep over and wants to recruit me. Are you going with that guy or are you going with the one that's like, here's the money and this is what we got for you? And is this the new? And by the way, NCAA, how is that legal? You won't let a guy buy, you won't let somebody buy a candy bar.
Right.
Jim Harbaugh's allowed to sleep over?
312 says, it's genius. He finds out everything with a sleepover. No need for a recruiting trip.
Hold on a second. Are you telling me that?
I mean, what are they doing? Like pillow talk?
I mean, what's going on there?
And what do they do in the sleepover? Do they, like, the mom and dad make popcorn and they rent a movie or something and just post up?
Let me get
sleeping
him,
bags
let me
in
get
the family
my
room?
PJs. I'm going to get my PJs on. Are we going to sleep in the, do they sleep in the same room? Is he down on the couch?
I hope not.
I mean, what is that?
It's strange.
Let's watch a movie. Let's watch some sports. Let's get SportsCenter. Let's go over some tape, Connor. Which, by the way, Connor missed a couple of field goals yesterday. He claimed it was fatigue. You're a kicker, dude. Come on.
Fatigue.
Missed a couple. You know, I think I was a little fatigued.
Tell that to Hamp next week. Tell Hamp that a kicker was fatigued.
This guy, Connor Quinn, was fatigued, and he had a sleepover.
You know how Hamp feels about kickers.
With Jim,
tell him that story. He also knows Jim Harbaugh very well.
He loves
Harbaugh.
And
he's got stories about Harbaugh.
He loves Harbaugh. And again, it's working. I just think it's
everybody,
bizarre.
Yeah.
I think it's just extremely, extremely bizarre. Like Michigan fans. What do you think about your coach having sleepovers with kids?
Oh, Michigan fans are going to love everything Harbaugh does.
Really?
To them, it's going to be genius. That's how the Michigan crew is.
They
love Harbaugh.
Like, I love everything about Joe Maddon except for the things I don't love. Like when he pulls Kyle Hendricks after 4 2/3 innings in Game 7 of the World Series. Like, I can have, like, a balance. Love you, Joe Maddon. Love how you are.
Are there Cub fans out there that still think the Cubs might not make the postseason? Like, I talked to some fans who were like, I don't know, man. This 4.5 game lead doesn't feel too good. Like, what are you talking about? The Brewers aren't even that good. The Cardinals are basically falling off the face of Earth.
Brewers are kind of playing well, though.
They're hanging around. So are the Cubs.
They're about to take three or four.
I think I asked you this question, or I asked somebody. I don't know how we got back on Cubs, but,
I mentioned Maddon for Harbaugh. That's how we got there. Go ahead.
Like, is the famous pessimistic Cub fan gone after the World Series, or are you guys right back on that train? Like, everything's going to go wrong for the Cubs down the stretch here.
We're most baseball fans, Cub fans, White Sox fans, whatever. It's you're schizophrenic during the season.
Like it's in your blood. But that's
you can't.
That's what I'm curious about. Like, did winning the World Series change that or alter
no,
that at all?
I thought it would, but it didn't.
It's the same story for you right now. Then
you know I sleep better overall,
because you got that one under the belt.
Right. There's a certain void that has been filled that will forever be filled, and it will never be as painful as it once was, no matter what happens. That being said, you want to win. 219 texting. Karma is a mother. He would be getting the side eye from the time he stepped through my door until the time he left. LOL. I mean, that's the question. Like, you're a mom. Are you allowing? I mean, maybe if your son really wants to go to Michigan, but if that was the case, I would be like, son, Con, you know, just tell him that you're going there. He doesn't need to come for a sleepover.
Right. Grown men don't do sleepovers.
Quinn.
Should not happen.
Quinn, you can make this decision without Jim Harbaugh sleeping over. Quinn, if you want to go kick for the University of Michigan, we support you. But I don't think you need to have him sleep over.
No go on the sleepover.
No go.
I'm team no sleepover.
And if I could just make a plea to the NCAA, we don't need more rules in life. But in this particular situation, I think we need the no sleepover rule. No sleepover.
I'm with you there, Carm.
All right, you want to take Keith real quick?
Let's take
Keith. So patient. All right. Keith, you want to talk to John Fox? It's what we do. You call, we service you. Go ahead.
Hey, Keith, hi. How are you?
Good. We're good, hey. Keith. Go ahead,
yeah,
man.
We're moving beyond NCAA to what's going on right now in Chicago in terms of the Bears.
Okay, but, Keith, your show. Look, go ahead.
John Fox, okay, look. Did anybody consider the elephant in the room that maybe he just doesn't want to be there anymore. And what? Maybe the decisions that are being made are just kind of like, I just want to get out of here.
You think
and just get through the season?
You think John Fox is purposely sabotaging the Bears to get himself fired?
I'm not saying he's sabotaging anything. But what I'm saying is that what kind of cars do they have to play with right now? What kind of cars did McCaskey family give him specifically right now to be competitive?
Yeah,
obviously not too many.
Yeah, but hold on.
Because you don't really have a quarterback.
Keith.
Right?
Keith. Hold on a second, Keith. Don't you have to play with the cards that you are dealt? I mean, isn't that his job?
Is it his job, or is it the owner's job?
Well, I'll say this, Keith. I feel like, and it's been fairly noticeable over the past year, like John Fox and Ryan Pace are on different competitive timelines. I think that's pretty obvious. Like, Fox came in thinking this was a 1 year, maybe 1 year of struggles, and then we're right back into it. Where Pace realizes this is going to take a while to rebuild this team. I just feel like they're on completely different pages.
Yeah. What do you do, Keith?
Well, you have to look at the cars that you have.
Well,
right?
But hold on.
I mean, you need a competitive quarterback. You need a competitive, look at the field.
Keith,
I mean, pick one.
Wait, hold on, Keith.
Yeah,
are you retired? Are you in between jobs? Do you have a job? What do you do?
Me?
Yeah.
I fly jets.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
It doesn't matter.
No, but it does. Well, hold on a second. I'll get to my point here. But you fly jets. Let's say they gave you a bad jet. You didn't like it. It wasn't your best jet. Would you crash the jet?
Of course not. You wouldn't try to, but unfortunately, maybe you just don't have the best equipment, right?
Right, but you would do the best you could with the bad equipment, right?
Do you think that Fox is really in this in the next 2 years? If not, then we need a new coach.
Okay, Keith, we appreciate the phone call. I don't know if he's. I don't think he's going to be here. But listen, his job is to do the best with what he has. He's got this quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky, who is the face of the franchise. He's got to protect him, and he's got to develop him. And the way he went about it in preseason game number 4 was beyond bizarre.
312 texting in, this is in regards to the Jim Harbaugh sleepover situation. Yes, grown men do sleepovers, golf outings, fishing, hunting trips, trying to get with your buddy's older sisters. That's a completely different ballgame. Like, I'm talking sleepovers like when you're a kid. You go to the house, the parents order you pizza, there's popcorn, there's candy, you're staying up late watching TV,
I think...
That's weird. That's a fishing trip is different, a golf outing... is different.
Like
having a sleepover. Like,
will you come to
with parents there?
Like, I just think it's like just a supreme lack of integrity. Like, and maybe that's a little too harsh, but it's just off. Will you come play football for me? Come on, I'll sleep over. I'll come to your house and sleep over. We'll have the best time.
It's a sad state of college football, right?
Cool. I'm gonna have a sleepover and I'm gonna share my. Come on, man. Go have dinner. Or lunch, or meet at the park, and have a conversation, and leave it at that. If the kid wants to come kick for you, great. If he doesn't, you'll find someone else. If I'm Jim, I'm not going over to sleep over to kid's house. I'll come to your house, I'll meet you, I'll be respectful to your parents, I will be respectful to you, I will tell you how much I really want you on my football team, and when the great education you can get at the University of Michigan, and play in the biggest, most important games, and I'll tell you everything that I possibly could positive about the university, and put you on a drop of a pedestal. Man, sleeping over.
Strange.
But can I... You got any plans tonight, though?
I got nothing going on. You want to have
Maybe, maybe we'll just,
rent the movie?
Get a little something new out, Right, yeah. Could be cool. Get a pizza, burger, get the grill out. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Hey, congratulations. Huge upset yesterday. The Howard Bison. An FCS team, 1AA, out of the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. They were 45-point underdogs to Division I UNLV, and they come in to Vegas, and they stun the Rebels 43-40.
$100 bet would have hauled you 55 grand.
How nice is that? They were 600-1 log shots.
Can we talk about what we talked about off the air?
Yes, go ahead. We were talking sleepovers off the air.
Well, and then I went into...
I'm sorry, you went into deodorant.
I did a deodorant change. Change brand, different scent.
From who to who?
I went from Old Spice. I'm trying out Right Guard right now.
I like Old Spice.
Well, actually, I'm doing something different. I'm doing an unscented deodorant bar.
Yeah?
But then, like, a scented body spray. It's just something I'm trying out, Carm. Anyways,
that is flat
Carmen...
That is weird. Go ahead.
No, you want to know what's weird? What's up, Dan Long?
That's apparently you are supposed to change it up.
Oh, really?
Like, periodically to keep
it... Is it good for you?
Yeah, like, because obviously I think different brands have different, like, active chemicals and stuff that perform the task of being deodorant.
Right.
So that it keeps them, like, effective. Okay. It keeps your body from getting used to it.
All right. Well, I'm glad I switched it up then. So I'm doing an Old Spice Right Guard combo. Carm responds with, you know, to be honest, I don't wear a whole lot of deodorant.
I don't.
What are you, Sting?
No, I listen.
Sting doesn't wear. He's one of those guys who like doesn't bathe and doesn't put deodorant on.
No, one of the things of being me where I'm truly blessed, I just smell good. I am a good smelling at the Carm on Twitter.
I think I smell good, but that's probably because I wear deodorant. You think you might not, Carm. You might not.
I'm telling you.
You just think you are. What if you're not? I'm going to smell you more.
Well, see, that's the thing. I occasionally, and I know when it's coming.
Like, what about when you go play your long tennis matches?
Sure, I need a shower afterwards, of course.
But during, you want to be going forehand and get a whiff of your underarm?
Throw
in an Old Spice fresh.
If you wear deodorant before you play sports, you're ripping that stuff off anyway. You're gonna stink. There's no stopping that smell.
What are you? You can't. I mean, a little bit.
Okay,
it neutralizes the stench.
I go. Full on nice fresh shower afterwards.
Do you use soap?
I love a good soap. Yes.
What kind of soap are you using these days?
I flip back and forth. I sometimes I go bar with the green bar.
Yeah, the Irish Spring.
Yeah. Other times I go with the liquid. It goes.
I'm
back
the same way. I mix it up a little bit. Use the floofa thing.
I rarely use the floofa, but when I do use the floofa, I enjoy a floof. It's a good floof. Get the dead skin off.
Mark Carmen doesn't wear deodorant.
Not a whole lot, no. Once in a blue moon, like if I know that I'm doing something important, I'll throw it on. You know, if I'm coming to see you or something, I don't really think about it.
I'm a huge deodorant guy.
Not a big deodorant guy.
Okay.
But there are people out there who are in my...
I know, and they smell bad.
And they stink. I don't think you've never noticed that. You would tell me.
Well, now I'm going to... I got a cold. I can't smell anything today. But next time I see you, I'm going to get a good whiff in.
Dan Long, have you ever smelled me? Have you ever noticed a bad smell on me? Be honest.
No, I can't say that I have.
See,
you know who's a big-time smeller? Stephanie Menendez, operations manager here. She always wants to know how celebrities smell. So I'm going to get a smell reading from Stephanie on the Carm.
All right, we can do that. Great radio.
Winos!
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
Our baseball post-game time, 4 o'clock on a Sunday. That's how it normally works out. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Kevin Powell, producing Dan Long. Hope you're having a great weekend. Phone number 312-981-7200. Also, if you would like to text us, you can do the same thing, 312-981-7200. And
Twitter, baby.
That would be at KPowell720 and at the Carm. All right, so Cubs lose to the Braves 5-1. Couple of talking points I want to get into here. Number one, the news from today, Javi Baez was on first base, hustling into second, doing the Javi, diving head first. His knee collides, ends up basically, I think, concussed.
His head collides with Dansby Swanson's knee.
Right. They come out of the dugout, they check him out, he stays in the game. He goes back out to short the next inning, and then he calls out the trainer, something's not right, my head's not right, let me get on out of here and get myself well. All right, two things. Number one, Javi Baez is probably the most important Cub right now, considering that Addison Russell is out 3 more weeks with plantar fasciitis. So that's a big deal. I mean, they got...
Who knows if Russell will play again this year?
Right, and who
knows... They could shut him down.
Who knows what's going to happen there? And I thought they were perhaps maybe too aggressive bringing him back. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but it just seemed like, look, if he ain't ready, he ain't ready. And I don't know if John Lester should be out there either, by the way. But again, I'm not a doctor. I do have those questions in my head.
When you hear John Lester say, I knew in the first inning if I was going to be able to go, you know, a full game. Like that worries you a little bit. Like, why would the pitcher be like, "Well, I'll find out in the first inning. I'm either going to blow up my arm, or I'll just go back and do 5-6 innings."
Yeah, why not?
Like, that's a little worrisome if your pitcher's not all that confident that he's going to even make it through the first inning.
I'm an err on the side of caution guy. There's no need to rush John Lester back out there. He's got lat trouble. Okay, cool. We'll see you in the middle of September.
Right.
You got another 2 weeks at least to play with here, but he's back out there.
4-game lead in the Central.
Yeah. So, and the Brewers won today 7-2, so we're back to a 3.5. So 3.5 up on Milwaukee, who's playing some good baseball. Looks like the Brewers are going to hang around. Here's the thing, and I had this conversation a couple weeks back about the best players on the field taking precaution and not playing super hard. Now, Javi Baez has been stealing home. He's been making ridiculous plays, throwing his body all over the field.
Got some wild hair going.
And you got to give the guy a ton of credit. He's been fantastic. And I know that a lot of people get frustrated with Javi. I get frustrated with Javi when he swings at a ball 3 feet over his head. But the guy's phenomenal. And he's filled a huge void. You haven't even missed Russell.
No.
Haven't missed him at all. But it also is further evidence to my overriding point here. Hey, man, long baseball season. We have Mike Freeman behind you that no one's ever heard of.
Who made an error today when he filled in for Bias?
Right. Don't worry about stealing second and diving head first into the bag. If you want to take risks, give me a feet first, bro. Just be safe. Stay on the field. Long season. I don't really care about this one play. So, again, it's just long season. You're super important. We don't have anyone behind you. It's just painful to see him go out.
See, like, to your argument, you're saying that certain players shouldn't. What was the argument again? That they
my argument is that the very best players on the field, like for the Cubs before Russell, like I had two, Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant. They should never leave the field without a perfectly pristine jersey that you could buy in the fan shop right after the game. I don't need you sliding. I don't need you doing anything other than going up and having a great at bat and hitting the ball a long way.
That's just not.
Bryce
Hart. It's not how these guys are designed, man. Like, they have this competitive edge to them.
I understand.
Like, I agree. Like, okay, Baez, maybe never slide head first. Just don't do that. So it's not about playing less hard. It's about playing smarter and putting yourself in situations or keeping yourself out of situations that can injure yourself. Like Bias, watching the replay, going head first,
right,
sprinting as hard as he can into second base. Maybe dial it down a notch and just
It's counterintuitive to how they've played and how they've gotten to the level. I get it. But if I'm the manager, I would just tell him, look, man, come playoff time, I want you running through a wall. The middle of June, 162-game season, don't go crashing into walls. Don't go sliding into bases
head first.
And listen.
They're never going to tell a player to play less hard. They're just never going to do that. They're going to tell them to be a little bit smarter.
Wilson Contreras, you're playing every single day. We need you behind the plate. You don't need to lug it down to first base at 100 miles an hour. You might blow out your hamstring and be out for 6 weeks.
Do you want Anthony Rizzo jumping up on the Reynolds rap?
Not really.
Probably not. Okay, I can get behind some of that stuff. Like, again, it's just playing smarter.
Stand up double or sliding first triple. I'll take the double for Rizzo and Bryant. Tommy La Stella, you better be hustling all the way. You're eminently replaceable. So it's just I understand that it's backwards. But
you're a worrier.
I'm a worrier.
You're a fan who's sitting there like, please God, nobody get hurt.
Right.
We need you for this stretch.
Because I think if the Cubs are healthy in the
I get it. Like, that's, but your argument, Carm, like, will never register with basically any of these players.
Well, but
and it's never going to happen.
But it does on some level, right? They hit a fly ball to left field. They don't sprint. They just trot, pop up. You're not sprinting as hard as you can to second base.
Accurate. That's true.
You know, there's a lot of times in baseball where they don't try that hard. And the other argument I made, like, was against the Reds when Bryant got hit by a fastball in the ninth inning up 13-6. It's this dumb old school baseball logic where, for whatever reason in baseball, when the game is over, baseball managers don't take out their best players. Football, quarterback's on the bench. Basketball, best player sitting. Baseball, you're up 7 in the ninth inning. Hey, go take your AB. No, don't take your AB. You might get a hit on the hand and break your hand, and your season's over. Sit Chris Bryant. You're up by 7 in the ninth. Nobody ever loses that game. Teams that go into the ninth inning leading by any score this year have won 95% of the time. 95%. You don't lose a game up 7 in the ninth. Chris Bryant doesn't need to hit. And Javi Baez, you don't need to be sliding head first against the Braves on a Sunday in September. Just don't do it.
Dylan Maples, one of the September call-ups, pitched one inning, scoreless ball, issued one walk, and struck out a batter. You're going to know that name for a while. He's got some nasty stuff. He can hit 100 miles per hour on the gun today. Has some pretty nasty breaking ball. So keep an eye on Dylan Maples. He's part of the September call-ups, the reliever.
He was throwing 95, 96, 97 today.
Mike Freeman, maybe just sort of a body. Well, Addison Russell remains out.
Well, I just thought it was interesting that, you know, a lot of teams were making moves in August, including we can get to Justin Verlander going to the Astros. Why wouldn't you do a little bit more to ensure yourself behind short? You don't want Javi playing every day anyway. Just a regular utility, 220 hitting, run in the mill, dime a dozen shortstop who can pick it and is just solid there. Mike Freeman is played short, but he's not a shortstop. So I didn't quite get that whole thing. But again, bow at the altar of Theo. Never question Theo. Theo knows what he's doing. I'm sure they'll be fine. He won a World Series. I get it. Here's the other one that I wanted to get to with the Cubbies.
Mm-hmm.
This Friday, the Milwaukee Brewers are coming in for a 3-game series. Cubs are
And they're already angry.
And they should be. The Cubs are starting their week in Pittsburgh tomorrow, 4-game set with the Pirates. And they're playing a Thursday night game. And so Crane Kenny and company went to the city and Mayor Rahm and begged for forgiveness, even though they've been as greedy as you can possibly be, having as many concerts as they can. And even more so than that, in my mind, they play all these night games in April to try to get as many people through the turnstiles as possible, when really, when it's warm in the summertime and your team actually needs some rest, that's when the night game should be. But they load them up in April, they load them up in September. So they don't have this night game. Plus, there's a Friday thing too, I get that. But they overload their night games early and late to get the most people in the park. They stack as many concerts as they can, and now they're going to the city. Hey, we got this big game with the Brewers. Can you give us a night game on Friday? And the city complies, and the Brewers are pissed. You set your schedule, man. You knew most likely that you were going to be in a position where you'd be competing for the playoffs. There's no integrity there, man. That's not fair. Because the Brewers had an advantage coming. The Brewers are playing Wednesday, a day game. They have Thursday off. They're playing Cincinnati this week. So the Brewers are going to be more rested. That's tough.
And this was,
suck it up.
Remember earlier in the year, the Brewers were upset because the Cubs canceled a game with rain in the forecast. And
right.
It didn't even rain at Wrigley.
Right.
They were furious.
Earlier in the year, they're beat up. The Cubs were. Their bullpen was tired. And there was a chance of rain two hours before the game.
And they called off the game.
Rain out. You're cheating.
Then the Cubs got smoked in the makeup game.
And then
anyway,
they got smoked in the... Like, that's the other thing. You don't want to give these guys more motivation. Not that they need it, but come on, man.
It's from Mayor Emanuel on the time change. Quote, with the Cubs in the thick of the pennant race, we're going to make sure the Cubs can focus on doing what they need to do, winning ball games and bringing another World Series back to Chicago. I want to thank the Cubs organization for the professional and courteous manner in which they went about resolving this issue, as well as Alderman Tunney for his partnership.
Rahm's getting those sweet seats for the playoffs again.
Alderman Tunney commenting, night events have been an issue for many years for our neighbors and non-Cubs-related businesses. I hope a one-time exemption of the Friday night game prohibition will further ensure a playoff berth for our Cubs.
312-981-7200.
I love the Friday day game. Like it's a staple at Wrigley. Kicks off the weekend. It's an excuse. You know, when that news broke, I heard from so many people who were like, oh, you know, I took the day off and start the weekend early, go to a Cubs game.
Why can't we get a 305? Give me a listen. You're flying back from Pittsburgh.
A 305 Friday would be perfect.
It's right.
Would be perfect.
Used to have the 305 Fridays. There was some rule that was put in. You can't do the 305. How about we just move this back to a 305? We're flying back from Pittsburgh. We're going to leave Pittsburgh about 11. That means we'll be here at midnight. That means I'll get home at 1. Telling me these dudes can't go Let's just be on the high side. Let's say they get home at 2. You can't tell me that Joe Maddon can't give me an American Legion. Let's, you know, whatever he calls it, show up and go.
American Legion week.
Get an 8-hour sleep or 7-hour sleep. Show up and play the Brew Crew on a Friday afternoon. No, we're going to change the game time. We're going to go to the city, and we're going to upset the Brewers because we need special considerations because our Cubbies are tired.
I kind of like the hatred brewing. It's like, you know, it's a little storyline. Don't you like seeing teams hate each other?
I do like that part.
You don't see that a lot in sports anymore, right?
I mean, there's not
these fierce rivalries or like a lot of anger between players who all seem to be buddy-buddy, which is fine, but it's just more fun to see two divisional opponents hate each other.
I
think that's kind of the case right now. There's something brewing here.
100%. They do not. I mean,
add some intrigue to this playoff race, to this division race.
Craig Counsell, Brewers manager, wants to kill the Cubs.
Yes.
And he should. All right. If you want to jump on here, a little Cub talk, 312-981-7200. Were the Cubs right or wrong getting a Friday night game? Did they overstep their bounds? 312-981-7200. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. He's Kevin Powell. I'm Mark Carman. It's The Beat with you till 6. Brian Noonan will be here at 6 o'clock.
In case you missed it, Mark Carman believes the best players on teams should not play their hardest in hopes they don't injure themselves.
Should preserve their health.
616 chiming in. Players who try to curb their play style are more likely to get injured than playing the way they do. And a player can get injured any day on any play. No guarantees. Greedy for game change. Maybe not concerned.
So
I agree that if you try to dial it down, you're prone to more injuries. Like you're better off going 100%.
Okay, let's talk about guys that like always gave 100% and how long their careers lasted.
Okay.
Let's talk about like I don't know Adam Eaton for the Chicago White Sox and now a Washington Nationals, always playing hard, always crashing into things, always on the disabled list. Aaron Rowan, same thing, always playing hard, always crashing into things, always on the DL. Lenny Dykstra back in the day, always going 100%, always something wrong.
Some guys just look like they're going harder than others, even though some players probably are going 100%, like if that makes sense. I'm telling you, there's some players have better awareness of where they are.
You know who never dove and never got hurt and had a Hall of Fame career? He literally never dove, but he won 9 gold gloves in a row.
Okay, who?
Ryan Sandberg. Never dove.
He never dove once in his entire career.
I swear, I'm telling you, he never...
I'll ask Ryan when I see him next time.
You tell
Ryan, do you think you ever dove once in your playing career? I'm sure he's going to say, yes, of course, I dove in my playing career.
Never dove. I didn't dive.
773.
Bothered me.
Love listening to you, Mark, because as a Cubs fan, you make me sound normal. Whenever you hear someone else talking in extremes, it makes rational fans feel better.
Sir.
That's Carm for you.
Sir,
that's at the Carm.
I don't think anything I've said is irrational.
Carm, you're saying that players should not play their hardest. That's what you're saying. Because you're worried they're going to get hurt.
Yes. I think smart.
Play smarter.
Yes. Work hard. Work smart. Play hard. Play smart. You know the number one guy who killed himself, 312 texting in, Nomar Garciaparra. Always injured. Banging around out there. How about hockey players? That, you know, some guys out there, they preserve their bodies as best they can. Football guys, like, if you're a freak of nature like Walter Payton was, you can crash in everybody and have a long career. Other guys, other running backs, and then it's different. Football's a different game.
I think you're fighting for yards, that's totally different.
I think, honestly,
as crazy as this will sound, I remember Warwick Dunn. Remember little Warwick Dunn?
Sure.
Played for the Buccaneers for a long time, running back, probably 5 foot, probably 5 foot six, 160 pounds, little dude. He talked about how when he learned how to get tackled. Like when somebody was tackling him, he would get in certain positions. You know, he wouldn't leave a leg dangling out that could be twisted or bent the wrong way. Like the guy knew how to get tackled. He was smart about it.
Right.
Like, so there's a difference between like playing less hard, which you're implying that they should do, and just playing smarter and having better awareness.
Yeah.
Like Javi Baez could have been playing 100%, but slid feet first into second base rather than head first. That's just an awareness type thing.
Right. Preserve yourself as best
you
can. So,
like, it doesn't mean he would be playing less hard if he slid feet first into second. He would just be playing smarter.
Have we seen any Javi?
Javi Baez, by the way, left today's game after sliding head first into the Braves second baseman knee. Went in the third inning, took his position, was feeling wooziness, which isn't a good sign. They took him out.
Yeah, let's. That's on the table right now, and also talking about the Cubs getting a night game on Friday because they were going to be tired, and the Brewers are really angry. Do you agree that the Cubs should be able to add night games whenever they so please because they're coming back from Pittsburgh late in the season when the Brewers would have had an edge with the day game? Is that cheating or bending the rules in a way that doesn't seem right? 312-981-7200. Ken, welcome to the show, Ken.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you? So, first of all, the Brewers should shut up and play. It's the Cubs' decision when they schedule games. The Brewers are supposedly in a pennant race. They're supposed to be professional. They should stop complaining. As for the Cubs, I've been complaining for 30 years. I've been saying that they should be adding more and more night games. It's not fair to the Cubs. It's actually a competitive disadvantage that they don't play as many night games at home as their division rivals or as anyone else in baseball. And this especially pertains, especially, gentlemen, to Friday night when the Cubs, unfortunately, thanks to their stupid ownership, previous ownership, are forced to play in the afternoon while everyone else plays 13 Friday night home games. So the Cubs, I admire Crane Kenny for pressing this issue. The Cubs really need to push for next year to have at least a handful of Friday night home games and to sunset the ordinance that limits their night games to 45 a year.
How many night games should they be able to play, Ken? As many as they want?
I would say every other team plays about 54, 55.
Right.
I would give them that limit and say that would include concerts. So then the Cubs can adjust and say, well, we're going to play 50 night games plus 5 concerts and make it like that.
So the Cubs have 43 night games and the other teams have 54. You really think that's a big disadvantage?
I think it is significant. I can't do the math in my head. I'm not that smart. But it sounds to me like it's more than 10%, and I think it makes a difference. And especially if you consider the Cubs can't play a full week of night games and they can't play what other teams do on the weekends. Friday night, Saturday matinee, Sunday matinee.
All right, Ken. Appreciate you, Ken. It's 20%. Your intuition on your math is correct.
Cubs right now get 47 night events.
Right, 47 night events.
And it's events, not games, because they have the concerts. That all goes into it. And this week's game will not push them over that 47 night event limit. So the Cubs can have 47, however they want to do it.
Yes.
Whether it's Lady Gaga playing in center field or every other artist or band that's come through Wrigley over the past few years.
Right. And I'm sensitive to the little guy. I will even fight for the Taco Bell and have a moment of silence.
Cheese Gordita Crunch, phenomenal.
Right. For the Cheese Gordita Crunch, no longer available on Addison leaving the ballpark. And I'll also, you know, back in the day, Yum Yum Donuts, which was an outstanding donut / hot dog / coffee establishment. Before a Cub game, I bleed for all those and the local establishments in the neighborhood.
The guy's selling the T-shirt on the corner.
I want you all to make as much money as possible. That's all true. I also think that the Cubs should have the right to do whatever the hell they want in the neighborhood, considering how much they have improved property values in that neighborhood. I mean,
I've never really understood that argument. Maybe
like, hey, can you believe what they're doing?
I know. Like, I didn't grow up.
Can't believe what they're doing in the neighborhood. They've made the neighborhood for you.
Well,
you've
that's
gotten
what I'm
rich.
Saying. Like, I've never understood that argument. Like, Alderman Tunney will be, I'm fighting for the residents of Wrigleyville and Lakeview. I'm like, who? Most people move there for Wrigleyville. Like, for the, you know, a lot of people love the fact that the Cubs are in their backyard, right? I mean, why else would you move there? Would you go out of your way to move to Lakeview?
Right. And by the way, if you
bought. Which is a beautiful area. No disrespect to Lakeview. I'm just saying, like, everyone knows what they're getting when they move there. And nobody's been there before the Cubs started there.
And if
you know what I mean? Like, everybody who's living in Lakeview moved there after the Cubs had made Wrigleyville and Lakeview their home.
Totally true. And even if you moved there in the 60s and you never expected lights to come to Wrigley.
Is there a resident in Lakeview? And if there is, 312-981-7200, that just despises or hates night events at Wrigley? Like, oh my God, there's a Cubs game tonight. Like, really?
312-981-7200.
You live, like, a few blocks from Wrigley Field. What do you expect?
Yeah, if you bought there a long time ago, they made you a ton of dough. Hey, yes. we gotta get into the news in 2 minutes on 720 WGN. Mm-hmm. 720 WGN. You all right over there?
I'm good. Just doing a veggie straw, zesty ranch.
That just happened. That was
I didn't know you were turning my mic on.
That was. Well, Ron Santo did that. He's a legend. So that's one of my favorite clips of WGN radio history, by the way. It was him. It was him and Judd Surratt were doing. Pat was doing it. Judd was in the booth though, and Pat's going doing his play by play, and Ronnie just let out a big one. And
oh, that was me just clearing my throat.
Right, you were just clearing throats. Yeah. But so Ronnie let out a big belch, and he was like, he apologized, and he said that Judd just brought him an ice cold Coke, and it tasted so good, it just went down so well that he drank a little bit too much.
That'll get you.
That was I miss you, Ron Santo. You're the best. By the way, there is a little Cubs breaking news on Javi Baez, who. According to our friend Kelly Kroll and a bunch of others on Twitter, I saw Kelly's first, so we'll give her the credit, @Kelly_Kroll, doing a great job with Comcast Sportsnet. Javi Baez not under concussion protocol, being further evaluated right now, expected to stay in Chicago overnight, fly out early tomorrow. So I think that means there's a pretty good chance that he'll be in the lineup tomorrow night when the Cubs, or tomorrow afternoon rather, when the Cubs and Pirates play a 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Chicago game on a Monday, Labor Day. I'm thinking about actually driving out to a Pittsburgh for it, KP. Not going to happen. Was kind of eyeing it. Like an 8-hour Pittsburgh Labor Day look. Leave after the show tonight.
Okay. That'd be a lot.
Be an aggressive play. But, I mean, what else do you want to do on a Labor Day? I think I'm going with the Labor Day tennis.
I'll be golfing.
You're golfing tomorrow?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Bright and early.
What time?
8 a.m. It's not that early. I know. You're an early riser, aren't you?
I mean, first guy on the course look is a strong play. 8 a.m., you're already in the mix.
It's true. It's a good point. But then after, I'm thinking about a track visit. Haven't been to Arlington all year.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Love a day at the track.
Wouldn't mind seeing you out at the track tomorrow on a Friday with a nice sandwich.
On a Monday?
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. All right.
630 texting in, by the way. Kevin Powell, happy Sunday. I'm on Beer 8. Love the show, Carm.
Is that your buddy?
I don't know who the 630 is.
Okay. We got Kevin Fishbane coming up at 5:10, right after the 5 o'clock news, to preview your Bears season. Right now, I want to give kudos and props to the best story that I saw all weekend long. And I was paying attention to the scores yesterday, of course, doing Northwestern and Nevada.
Go Cats.
And you had Western Michigan hanging tight with USC. And
who has probably the best quarterback in the nation on their team.
That's
Sam Darnold.
That's
probably going to be the top quarterback drafted next year.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that's what we're hearing.
I mean, that's out there.
He'll be a first-round pick.
I'm going to defer to your quarterback college football knowledge over what I would just throw out right now, which would be BS. I don't really know. I'll go Clayton Thorson. But sure. It was surprising that USC was having trouble, but they pull away late. And so then the coolest story of the day comes on. Jake Olson, let's do the play-by-play first, and then maybe I'll set up the rest of it. Let me tell you this. Jake Olson is a long snapper. He's blind. He lost one eye at 2 years old from a very odd form of retinal cancer. He lost his other eye 9 years after that, so he's totally blind. One of the last things he did was go to a USC football game at 12 years old. Pete Carroll was the coach then, and Carroll told him, I will do everything I possibly can to take care of you, and you will play football for USC one day. So this guy learned how to snap the ball. He bulked himself up, put on like 40 pounds, so he's actually like capable of playing football. It's not just like a charity case out there. He actually has the size to do it. And USC was waiting for the right moment where it wasn't necessarily going to cost him the game, but the game's out of reach. They just scored a touchdown. It's 48-31. There's under 3 minutes to go. And this is what happens.
USC has a blind snapper, and his name is Jake Olson. And there may be some communication going on right now between the USC and Western Michigan coaches to alert them that the Trojans are about to put him in to snap this extra point. Everybody should know that Olson has been blind since he was 12 years old. And for 2 years, actually, he was a varsity long snapper for field goals and extra points at Orange Lutheran High in Southern California. And he snaps some kicks at USC spring games, but he's never done this in a live football game. So here he is.
So Jake Olson, how about this for an inspirational moment? He is out there snapping. And a good snap from Jake. Listen to the crowd. Look at the USC sideline.
So kick good, 49-31.
That's awesome.
How awesome is that?
Immediately put a smile on my face.
Him and his buddy, who is the holder, Wyatt Schmidt, that's how he gets on the field. And it doesn't even look awkward. Like, you know, they're both running on the field, and Olsen just got his hand on his pad. It's like they're just running together, buddies. And they pointed him to where you're standing. Here's the football, dude. And he got down and fired that snap back, and right on the money, bang. I was kind of slightly disappointed that nobody crashed into him. Like, let him block somebody. They didn't run into him. But
his mom, Cindy, says, I quote, "I was just screaming. I was jumping up and down. We had everybody around us, even people we didn't know, just screaming. I was saying, that's my son. Are you kidding? This was history. This was amazing. This was Jake's dream."
That is a great story of humanity, right?
It's awesome.
You can't see, you don't give up on a dream. I'm going to play college football. We all have things in our way in life, myself included here, where we allow ourselves to get stopped. Here's a kid who has absolutely no general business in being on the football field, and he got himself there. He bulked himself up. He became...
At USC.
And listen, snap, I don't know. You know more about offensive line.
He was a backup long snapper in high school.
Right. I mean, how hard is it? I don't think it's that easy.
It's an extremely tough position. It's probably one of the most terrifying positions too, because he was doing it for a PAT, but for say a punt situation, you're snapping the ball, then you got to pop your head up, get a block in, and then run downfield, really not even knowing if the ball made it to the punter. I mean, it's a pun intended here. It's a blind snap. I mean, it is. You're just flicking your wrist back and hoping that it makes it to the holder or the punter or whoever it may be. So it is not an easy position.
Lost his left eye.
But it would make sense long snapping, because it is very like rep oriented, like mental reps. Like you have to just snap, 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 and then it's like riding a bike. So
and to be able to go out to practice, put on your pads, hold yourself like you belong, right? I mean, he's got to feel. Everybody else in here can see. I can't see. What am I doing on the football team, let alone at USC?
Yeah, you're playing against D1 talent. That's going to be scary.
I mean, he's in practice every day. He's doing it. So I lost his left eye when he was 10 months old. Cancer forced doctors to remove his right eye when he was 12. He asked to watch the Trojans practice the night before his surgery. Unbelievable. And although he's completely blind, also, he also played 2 years of high school football, by the way, in Orange County out in California. He worked out for the Trojans since 2015. And, I mean, his buddy was Pete Carroll, but the coach now is Clay Helton. So, for all you people out there looking for motivation, myself included, as I've said a bunch today, that story needed to be told today. And there you go. Jake Olson, KP. Kevin, awesome. Kevin Fishbane coming up here at 5 o'clock. I have something incredibly special for you coming back here that I think you're going to love, Kevin.
Okay.
Like, really love it. I had a great trip this week.
I know you did.
I want to share with you.
Okay. I want all the details.
Try to make your life better all at the same time. 720 WGN. Cubs lost to the Atlanta Braves 5-1. They go 6-1, though, on the homestand. White Sox a winner over Tampa Bay on the south side. Lucas Giolito, huge, as Kevin Powell likes to say.
Huge.
Another solid outing for the young right-hander.
7 innings, 1 run, 10 strikeouts, no big deal. Cy Young in 2 years.
Cy Young in 2 when the White Sox are in the World Series playing the Cubs, as the Cubs try to go for their fourth in a row.
2020 will be the Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox in the World Series.
You heard it here first, or at least heard it here again at the bare minimum.
I can't wait to be there.
Yep. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So I was in New York this week, 3-day, my annual trip to the U.S. Open. I love it so. I thought that you didn't come with me this year, Kev.
Yeah, I didn't get an invite.
That's true. There's two things I want to discuss here.
Okay.
Number one, I've gone to the U.S. Open with my brother, who's a big tennis guy. I love my brother. Had a great time with him. I've gone to the U.S. Open with girlfriends of past nature.
Wow.
I've gone to the U.S. Open with my family.
Okay.
Everyone's been there.
I want to go. And it's on the bucket list.
I've had a great time every single time. This year, by myself, might have been the best time I've ever had.
You went completely solo?
Solo 3 days. I mean, stayed at my buddy Nick Wright's, who's starting a new TV show, First Things First, Fox Sports.
Nice plug.
It starts Tuesday morning. Check it out. It's my guy. He's phenomenal. While you listen to the Steve Cochran show, you know, just maybe put the sound up on the TV during a break or something like that. So I'm staying with Nick, but he's not coming to the tennis.
Okay.
So I'm riding the 2-3 train out of Harlem down to Times Square, getting on the 7-hour trip out to the Open.
Wow.
Hour trip. You know, nice. Get a good read, chill.
Right.
Stop. And then I'm going to the tennis by myself. Now, here's the thing. You go to the tennis first week. There are a zillion matches going on. Court 17's got this sweet thing going on. Court 10's got a cool one. Oh, what's going on in the grandstand? So you're always wondering if you're in the right spot. What's the best place to be?
Right.
As a solo guy, it's easier to make that decision. You don't have to ask the person
with
you.
No baggage.
No baggage. And if I'm going to another court, I like to sit down low. So I don't have to ask anybody when I get to the court.
Yeah. I hear you.
I need one seat. I don't need two. I don't need three.
Carb, you're talking to Mr. Solo here. Like, I'll go out to eat by myself.
Right.
I'll go see a movie by myself. What? I don't care.
And that's the question. 312-981-7200. What is just better to do solo?
Oh, that's good. Like, that's a real good one.
What is a better solo deal? Dan Long, I feel like you do a lot of things solo. Maybe you can weigh in on this one.
What kind of comment is that to make?
You're just a man who's got a vision.
You know what I would say? Like fest or concerts? Because when you have to navigate through crowds and you're like, where's the... There's always one idiot friend who's like fighting someone or he's drunk somewhere. You can't find them. Like moving through a fest or like a large gathering with a group of people is horrible.
Right.
You know? And so that, like maybe one person at max.
But then at a concert, you want to dance with someone.
Yeah, I don't know. Concerts, you're just staring at the stage.
What about a movie? You rather go movie solo, movie with someone?
I like going to movies with someone because then after you can talk about the movie with them.
Mm-hmm. But you're not going to talk during
the
movie.
Right, you're not going to talk anyways.
And I guess with the movie,
I'm just impulsive. Like, I really want to see that movie. So I'll, you know, be leaving the station at night and I'm like, okay, this movie's at 8. Screw it. I'll go watch the movie solo. You don't need someone to watch a movie.
312-981-7200. Best thing solo.
The movie's providing the entertainment. Not who you're with.
Don't need anybody there. Can pick the movie that I want to go to. We'll hang out afterwards, get a dinner.
Oh, this is perfect. 219. Shopping is the best thing to do solo. You ever seen how miserable husbands look? They're always sitting on that bench.
Yeah, no,
like malls and department stores have perfected like designing little areas where a husband sees it and is like, they made that for me. Like I'm going, I'm posting up there. You go shop. I'm going to hang out here. There's always like a dad sleeping on a bench with like 8 bags side by side.
Right. I'm willing to do you a favor if you want my opinion on something, you want me to come, and you know that you're going to be trying something on that you've seen. But just to go shopping, that's a rough look. I would never ask somebody to come. That's not true. I'm lying there. I would ask. I think guys need a female to come with them to go shopping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We need the help.
I think grocery shopping would be fun with someone. But like, if you're getting dragged along, if she's buying clothes and stuff,
I don't want to grocery shop with anyone.
Let's go. You have fun in a grocery store. I normally go to the butcher area and just stare at all the meat. Talk to the butcher about the different cuts.
You go deep.
That's fun.
That's fun to me.
That's like a kid in a candy shop. That's me near the meat.
This is admittedly bad radio, but I'm going to do it anyway. I want to give you the top 10 U.S. Open tips if you're ever going to the U.S. Open.
Dear God.
This is what you should do. You ready? Number one. Go to Court 17. It's the best venue in there now. So you sit in the shade, lower right corner. You're right at the baseline. Phenomenal.
Okay, because real quick, you were posting videos from the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And I don't think you realized, like, inadvertently, I could hear you being like, oh, ooh.
Did I really do that?
Like, you were ooh and eyeing, and it was hilarious. I'm like, Carmen just loves this right now.
It's my favorite
and
time
he's
of
posted,
year.
So, like, nobody even knows who these people are. You got a video of Alexander Dolgopolov.
Love him.
On the verge of knocking off Burdick. I know that name.
Burdick. You're in the mix. You Court 17 is where I saw that match. Phenomenal, phenomenal video. Check out at the Carmon video.
It's really exciting stuff.
It's a great vid. Here's one that you here just over for you. The U.S. Open, they have the U.S. Open buffet, Kev.
All right.
Now you need
what's famous? Like Augusta's known for the pimento cheese sandwiches. I don't know. Wimbledon's known for
I don't know what's famous.
Strawberry and cream.
It's New York. They have everything. They got an oyster bar. They got the $25 champagne glass. You can get your $9 beer though too. They got the burgers. They got the dogs. They got the taco place. They got the quinoa. Wow. I mean, they got everything. Literally everything.
Not doing quinoa at a sporting event.
But so here you go. U.S. Open buffet. You used to, and I think you probably still do need a ticket to get in. But if you're a solo guy or a little bit more
savvy
creative
veteran like the Carm,
you just walk through the patio, you walk right on in, and you just sit down at the bar.
You look like you belong.
Right. Sit down at that bar, and now it's a little pricey. It's a $40, but you've
got a buffet?
But a full buffet.
I would destroy that buffet.
Right. In New York, shrimp, prime rib, chicken, every single salad, like five different salads up there. Desserts, they had the bananas Foster. They got the chocolate cake. They got the cookie. They got the peach pie. I mean, like literally everything. You can go. It's a bare minimum three platter.
You had me at shrimp and prime rib. Say no more.
You got to go U.S. Open buffet. It's a little expensive. You have
for
a drink.
$40 though. That's reasonable.
Right. You go 40. You go one beer. It's a $60 extravaganza. Okay. But you're sitting down. It's peaceful. It's just a great look.
Can you see the courts from the buffet, or is this like in a
no? You're yet, but you got a million TVs screens in front of you, and you can just hang.
So Carm's at the U.S. Open solo and hitting the buffet solo,
crushing buffets. Twice, one double, two out of three days.
Wow. A little double dip, huh?
Now, if you don't want to go buffet, this is what you do. You go to your local bodega on the way out there. And see, everyone says New York's super expensive. Kay Powell, price this one out. I go to the bodega. I get a turkey sandwich, Swiss cheese, lettuce, tomato, a little mayo mustard on a roll, solid Kaiser roll.
$16.
I get a bottle of water. Ooh. I got two Aleve because my back was bugging me. And I got a banana.
I'm going to go $35.
It was $9.
For all of that?
$9. Sandwich, like $5. The bodegas, and it was Boar's Head turkey.
Wow.
I mean, it was a
Boar's Head does a nice turkey.
They do a good turk. I'm in for $9.
That's what, at the Masters, they do the same thing. It's a million, crazy amount to get a ticket, but when you're in there, you can get the pimento cheese sandwich for like $2.
Right.
They have turkey sandwiches for $2. They have beers for like $3 or $4.
You went to the Masters?
No. I never been.
Oh, okay.
But people post this stuff.
Anyway, so you listen. I'll
go someday. I'll go to the Masters.
You can bring in any food to the U.S. Open. Just load yourself up. You're going to be there all day. You're going to be watching tennis. Get yourself a couple sandwiches. Bring a bottle of water. There's a ton of water fountains.
Listener Texan says Angus burger and garlic fries are U.S. Open staples.
Okay, never had it. I've
got to go back now.
Now I got to
go back. Also, we were here at this very radio station probably about the same time last year, and you declared that Mark Carmon was going to make a run to become a ball boy at the U.S. Open, and then that just completely. What happened? We're going to hear about this after the news.
2018, here I come, 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Kevin Powell loves Ditka.
Love Coach Ditka.
Ditka. 720 WGN. I like early Ditka. Love early Ditka. Maybe my favorite coach of all time, early Ditka. It's kind of like I love early Kevin Fishbane. He's gotten a little, now he's a little haughty. He's working for The Athletic. He's getting all big time, but he's still willing to join the show and talk Bears, so that's big. And he loves that Northwestern's 1-0. What's up, Kevin? How are you, my friend?
Carm, I'll never be too big to join your show. Come on now.
God bless you. I felt that right. That went right into the heart, man. So, okay. Kevin, I don't mean to be too blunt here. But should John Fox be fired for the way he conducted himself in preseason game number 4 and managing the most valuable part of the franchise in Mitchell Trubisky and not having a backup quarterback available in case Connor Shaw got hurt and not realizing that if he's going to run the ball early in the game, he should run it late, and for calling a timeout and creating a fourth down where he got sacked? Is there any chance that you believe that John Fox should actually be fired for what he did in preseason game number 4? Because I think you'd be right.
as preposterous as those decisions were, Carm, I'm not going to go as far as calling it a fireable offense. Certainly might have might be having a different conversation if Mitch Trubisky had actually gotten hurt. But no, that was very strange and didn't make a whole lot of sense, nor did his post-game explanation make much sense. I mean, they have to be just happy that they got out of there unscathed, and hopefully they probably hope this week we'll just ask about the Atlanta Falcons.
And what
bring back that.
What was his explanation?
It's all hard. I don't know. It's like it's a football. You know, things happen. You're always going to – the risk is the same all the time. And then I believe it was Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune who pointed out that the risk is greater when you're passing versus running, to which John Fox said it's not the first time Mr. Trubisky will get hit and it won't be the last time.
So it's unbelievable. I listened to his stuff. It's like – I'd like you to explain to me, Kevin, if you can – is it because John Fox is so well-liked in the Bears locker room that he's been able to have this career where he's gone from Carolina to Denver to Chicago? His game management, and I understand the Bears haven't been a very good football team, but it's been less than impressive. And I don't get it. I just feel like he just is well-respected by the players because of how he treats them, and that allows them to keep getting jobs. Am I missing something here?
Well, he has been to two Super Bowls, which
that's true.
You know, I mean, the guy has been successful in Carolina, and you can say what you will about Peyton Manning, but you know, there was a lot of other reasons that the Broncos were successful while he was there. And look, I mean, Fox's game management has never necessarily been considered his strong suit. And as you mentioned, Bears or players that have played for him have always liked him. Coaches that have coached for him have liked him as well. So, you know, the fact is, Carm, he's got to win this season or at least, you know, show enough improvement to save his job. This guy is not far from guaranteed to be the head coach of the 2018 Chicago Bears. So he's got a lot to prove.
The deadline was at 3:00 this afternoon to get your roster set to 53 men. What are some highlights from today and what are some surprises, including some news with Jeremy Langford?
Yeah, that was the biggest news of the day. I think if you sit down and break it down, Kevin, I don't think it's a huge surprise. You know, Langford just has never looked like himself since he hurt his ankle in Dallas last year, and that includes this preseason. You know, I kind of thought that the Bears, you know, teams don't like to give up on their own draft picks, especially, you know, only 2 years in, especially a guy who was your starting running back like Langford. So I thought they might hold on to him for a little bit. But, I mean, he was going to be the third or fourth best running back on this team without a lot of special teams value. I'm curious to see if anybody picks him up tomorrow and what happens. But that was certainly the biggest news of the day, if we're going to ignore the fact that the Bears swapped long snappers today. So we're on to, like, long snapper number 7, I think, since Patrick Manley retired.
That is huge. Patrick Scales, I mean, people were excited about what he was going to do this year, Kevin. I mean, there was a lot of people outside of the Showcase studio here screaming about what Scales was going to bring, and the Bears are going to go 8-8. Do you like the new long snapper? I forget his name.
I believe it's Andrew DiPaola. And he snapped for the Buccaneers for 3 years.
Huge.
And since I never heard of him, that probably means he was a good snapper because he didn't have a terrible snap.
I'm going to be I'm regretting buying the Overbaugh jersey, my navy blue Chicago Bears Jeff Overbaugh jersey. I'm going to have to be returning that one. Kevin, Adam Shaheen was a guy we were all excited about. Saw him in training camp, Division II player that Ryan Pace elected to draft. And we all thought, you know, bright future for this guy. Looked phenomenal in camp. And then in the actual games over the past few weeks, he's been pretty much non-existent. What have you seen from Shaheen?
Just about that. I mean, I was kind of disappointed, frankly, to see what he was doing in games. I don't know if they're – I mean, if you're going to be really optimistic, maybe they are hiding some things because they don't want to show the league what he's capable of. I don't know. But, you know, he had a drop, I believe, in the opener. He tripped over his own feet after he caught a pass against Arizona. You know, just did not necessarily see some of the things that we did see in Bourbonnais. Now, the one thing about Shaheen is you look at the Bears and tight end, assuming Zach Miller can stay healthy, is really one of their deeper positions with Deion Sims, who they really like. Daniel Brown is a guy that, you know, fans should kind of keep an eye out for, although I was a little – I expected more from Daniel Brown during the preseason as well. So, you know, they don't need Shaheen to be out there. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's a healthy scratch maybe for the first couple of weeks as they continue to get him acclimated to the NFL game. As I said, the Bears are lucky that that's kind of a position. They don't necessarily need him out there right away. But, you know, second-round pick, you don't want him to take a redshirt year. You want him to be a contributor to a team that needs some help in the passing game.
And some surprising news on linebacker Pernell McPhee, who spent camp on the PUP list, passed his physical today, correct?
He did. He is off the PUP list. Now, I don't know if that means he's going to play on Sunday. I will say this about Pernell. Last year, he missed the first six games. And then the seventh game was a Thursday, so it was a short week. He only practiced, I think, once, and he was out there against the Packers. So I would never be one to doubt McPhee's availability. Certainly it'll be in limited snaps. But even in limited snaps, that guy makes a difference. He had four sacks last year in his nine games, you know, and not playing very much. So he finds a way to make a difference when he's out there. But he really – the Bears' defense is a lot better when he's on the field.
Kevin Fishbane with us here, the Bears reporter for TheAthletic.com. Become a subscriber. Read Kevin. Your life will be better. Joining us now on 720 WGN. Do you think Mitchell Trubisky's active a week from today when the Bears open up with the Falcons at noon, or do you think he's the third string guy and it's a little Mark Sanchez action?
Oh, man, that's a good question, Carmen. I hadn't really thought about that because you're going to have you generally don't want to have three quarterbacks active because – You need all the special teams guys and backup O linemen that you can get. So that's going to be telling. You know, I'm sure we'll ask John Fox and he won't tell us. And the depth chart that will come out Tuesday won't mean anything. If they actually move Trubisky to number two in the depth chart, then that does mean something. So that's going to be probably wait and see until it'll be 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. To find out if he's inactive. I mean, I think that Trubisky should be the number two quarterback, but you got to remember that the Bears are intent on not putting him in the game until they are 100% comfortable with him being in a regular season game. And if they're not ready yet, if they don't want to be forced to put him in if Mike Glennon gets hurt, then I can see him being inactive. And Mark Sanchez being the backup, as much as that would infuriate, I think, the city of Chicago. They have a plan, and I'm curious, you know, maybe the way he's played has changed that plan, but that's going to be a big decision come Sunday morning.
You heard it here first, Trubisky, inactive week one.
Yeah, well, it's almost impossible to predict, but when do you guess he makes his first start? I'm going to ask it
anyways. Step out, Kevin.
So there's three kind of landmarks to keep an eye out for. One, the earliest, I think, would be week five because it's a tough first four games for the Bears. And then they kind of have like a mini bye because they play the Green Bay on a Thursday and then they don't play till the following Monday. So that's kind of the type of long week that you can make a change like that. And if they're 0-4 and Mike Glennon hasn't played well and they're just ready to get going, that could be it. The other is obviously after the bye week, which comes right in the middle of the season after their first eight games. Does he come out of the bye as a starter? And then at the end, it'd probably be, you know, December. Then you're looking at like week 13, week 14. At that point, you know, when the Bears are out of the playoff hunt, you know, right now it looks like a pretty easy December schedule. Maybe like, all right, let's get him some game action at the end of the season. So those would be the three spots I can see it happening. Right now, I lean towards December because I think that's what the Bears would prefer. So that in their kind of dream scenario, Mike Glennon keeps them kind of afloat for as long as they can because I don't think they want to put Trubisky out there until they're comfortable.
You do know that it's Mitchell and not Mitch, right?
It's Mitch. Unless Twitter gives me 143 characters to work with, I'm calling him Mitch.
Okay, but his name is Mitchell. That's what.
But what did he officially say? Because there's been some debate. His mom says he wants everyone to call him Mitchell.
The Bears.
He says he doesn't care, right?
Well, okay. Here's the thing. There are two people that call him Mitchell: Zach Zaidman and Mark Carmen. So I'm gonna call him Mitch, right? Okay. He said at his opening press conference, You guys can call me whatever you want.
Okay, so, okay. Hold on a second here. First of all, I do love to be involved with Zach Zaidman, even though he blocked me on Twitter for reasons I still don't know why. Love you, Zach. But so if Mitchell Trubisky is also being called that by Jeff Joniak, your voice of the Bears there, Kevin Fishbane. Tom Thayer calls him Mitchell Trubisky. The Bears' Twitter calls him Mitchell Trubisky. Why are you resistant to getting in the proper Mitchell? Mitch is a guy who's out late at night. You can't trust him. Mitch will lie to you. Mitchell is solid. He's your accountant. He's your quarterback. He gets stuff done. If he's Mitch, I don't.
Mitchell sounds a little too nerdy for football, right. Carm. It doesn't work.
Look, Andrew Luck is a great quarterback. Andy Dalton is a loser. Mitchell gets it done. Kevin, come with me. I need
you. What about Tom and Thomas? It's Tom Brady.
But it's not Tommy. Tom and Thomas, but it's not Tommy. Listen, Barack Obama became the president of the United States. Barry Obama ain't getting it done. Donnie Trump doesn't get to. Donald does. Mitchell, Kevin, you have to be on board. I can't not have you on the team.
Worst argument ever. Just disagree with him, please.
Carm, here's the thing. Look at where I'm coming from. My job is to write about this guy, right? And tweet about this guy, okay? I need those three characters.
You don't.
I can't waste it on the ELL at the end of his name. And think about when there's a bunch of reporters trying to get their questions in. Who's got a better chance of getting their questions? Someone who addresses him as Mitch? Or someone has to throw in a Mitchell to try to get his attention. I can't afford that extra.
That's a good point.
No,
that's a valid counterpoint.
Some of the best reporters in town. And listen, look, Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer are the best in the business, but the Bears ain't writing my paycheck. They're you know, the Chicago Bears are going to call him Mitchell, and the reporters are going to call him Mitch. That's just the way it's going to be.
Okay, but see, you're missing a golden opportunity here. He's expected to hear Mitch from everybody out there. Adam Hogue's going to go Mitch. Rich Campbell's going to go Mitch. If Kevin Fishbane walks in there and he's like, Mitchell, and then he will stop dead in his tracks and come to you.
It could get his attention. It'd be like the thing where, you know, your mom yells at you and gives you the full name. Like, that could grab his attention.
What,
you may want to
What if I went with Mr. – I could go with Mr. Biscuit, which was his college nickname.
That's fine. You can call him that. And by the way, on Twitter, just call him – it doesn't matter what you call him on Twitter. Call him Trubisky or or, you know, MT. You can say the characters that way. But, you know, when you're actually addressing him, just don't use Mitch. Use Mitchell at all times when you're going first name. That's the key.
By the way, let's point out this is coming from a guy who goes by Carm.
No one even knows what your first name is.
Listen, I can't. My name evolved to the point that I became Carm. And
Carm's name is Mark, by the way. I bet you there's listeners out there who do not know your first name.
I was always Carmen. And then, which is a problem in this radio town because we've got a Carmen.
Yeah.
So then it got shortened to Carm. Mark. Listen, if I was Mark and I were really Mark, I'd probably be further along in my career. But I became Carm. So maybe I need to make a change. But that's different. We're talking about a quarterback. Quarterbacks have to be the most solid, reliable people on the planet. They're your quarterback, Kevin. Listen, Kevy doesn't write for The Athletic. Kevin gets it done.
Hey, when he tells us to call him Mitchell, I'll call him Mitchell. But until then, he's Mitch to me.
I think we've gone on long enough about the name debate. Hey, can we get one more nugget from you, Kevin, before you go? Lamar Houston, his days in Chicago over?
I would assume so, because if that injury is not serious, then he doesn't need to be on injury reserve for the entire season. Although, I'd have to double check. I think if he stays on IR, he can maybe collect that pretty big salary he's getting. But the Bears might want to get him off that salary and come to an injury settlement. So, I don't know if that would have changed if he didn't get hurt. I thought he was going to make the team. Maybe that in the injury impacted things. Maybe they were always going to cut him. I don't know. But the fact that he's on IR right now tells me that, his days might be over.
Let me ask you one more thing here, Kevin. I'll go forward. Don't worry. I'm not going back. I saw yesterday, actually not yesterday, it was about a week ago, guys walking across the street. He's wearing a 99 Bears jersey. I'm like, oh, sweet. Someone's repping the Hamp. That's cool. I look at him. It's a Houston.
Wow.
The guy bought a Lamar Houston 99. Now, in your humble opinion, should that guy be banned from the city? Because I think he should be. He should be wherever Lamar Houston goes, that dude should go with him. Who goes 99 Lamar Houston jersey?
Would you have rather been a 99 Shea McClellan jersey?
That would have probably been worse. But at least if you're like repping Shea, he was kind of here for a long time. And I mean, that's terrible. Well, I didn't know that Shea wore 99.
And this does, Karim, great. I can plug the story on The Athletic by my editor, John Greenberg, about the jerseys around Soldier Field that we saw last Thursday night. No Glennon jerseys. But a lot of old school Bears. But Lamar Houston, it's definitely a unique one to throw out there. I did see a Cade McNown jersey in Tennessee last weekend, which I thought was notable.
It was not
Cade McNown.
I read John's piece. It's very entertaining. And the saddest part is when I believe he went into the team shop at Soldier Field. The guy there said that if someone wants a Glennon jersey, it's essentially a custom made jersey because they don't have Glennon jerseys on the rack. It's pretty sad.
I mean, if you have a Mike Glennon jersey and you take a picture of it with you in it right now and tweet it to @thecarm or @kpile720,
we'll send you a gift card from Luol Natis.
We'll hook you up with everything we got. I mean, we'll let you host for Steve Cocker one of these days if you actually can prove that right now. Not that we have the power to do that, but let's just imagine we did. Kevin, before you go, how many wins, man?
Oh, that first, we're talking about the Cats or the Bears?
You can do both, actually. I'd love to hear both predictions.
All right, I got the Bears at 6-10, which means they double their win percentage from last season.
Huge.
Pretty impressive.
Huge.
And I was thinking 15-0 for the Cats before the first half yesterday. That was a little tough. So maybe more like 14-1. You know, maybe they stumble in the Big Ten championship game, but still get into the playoff and win at something along those lines. But more likely, it'll just be 8-4.
Just ride Thorson's arm to the promised land. All Big Ten this year.
8-4, baby. I take it. All right, Kevin. Congrats on the new gig, man. You're awesome, and we always appreciate your time, sir.
Happy to be on. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Kevin.
Kevin Fishbane. TheAthletic.com at KFishBane, KFishBAIN on Twitter.
One of the, I just want to point out that during that entire segment, something happened to you here in studio. Like, you look, first of all, you have a dress shirt on. All of a sudden, one less butt, like, your whole chest is hanging out right now. Your chest hair is popping. You're popping cheddar. You've got your collar popped. Like, all this was happening while you were getting very animated about the Mitch Mitchell thing, which is why I was just, that's what I was laughing about, just watching your transformation here in studio. I don't know what's going on here. You got the sun beaming on your face right now. You got, like, 3 buttons undone. Your chest is hanging out, and you got a popped collar. What happened there?
So, I think I have a little bit of neurosis that occasionally goes on where I just got to play with things.
Yeah, because you started biting the collar. You started throwing your pen a little bit.
Yeah. And I created all these.
You have no collar stays. That's a pet peeve of mine.
I got all sorts of, well, that's where it started because I was noticing the collar.
Yeah, it was a mess. Any collar stays in there.
Well, this shirt that I'm wearing now was actually in my trunk to be delivered to the
dry cleaners?
No, to the store.
Goodwill?
So
you're going to give that shirt away?
I was giving this shirt away to the bin, but then I needed to have a nice shirt because I was making a stop before, and so I threw the shirt on, and then I just noticed in the interview that there's no collar stays, and the collar's creeping up, so I tried to mess with it and just pop it up because it was bothering me,
right.
And now I look ridiculous, but I feel kind of like Tom Cruise, maybe Risky Business style.
A little bit, yeah.
Great movie.
WGNRadio.com if you'd like to watch the live stream of Carmen.
Great.
And his wardrobe change, whatever's happening here.
5:35 coming up here. We have another special thing for you, which means that I can't find the rundown. I forgot what I put down. Oh, yeah. I got some. We got football controversy right after the 5:30 news on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Bears opening up a week from today. Noon kick at Soldier Field. The Atlanta Falcons, as the 2017 season will officially be underway. Don't forget, Hamp and OB with Kaz will be your Bears postgame show. Yours truly involved as well. 3:00 Sunday afternoons after the noon kickoff. And, of course, that varies on Monday night games and Thursday night games and all that. But bottom line, 3:00 Sunday afternoons. Looking forward to it.
What's that like in here? You're the quarterback of that whole situation. I know you just sort of hand it off to those guys and let them roll with it. What's the atmosphere like in this studio for Bears post game with Hampo being
the most fun happens during the game because they're so into it.
And the amount of food that gets delivered for those three guys is impressive. Like, there's like 10 ribeye steaks delivered. It's like a full-blown catering job.
Rick Easer does a phenomenal job bringing in the cuisine. And Mr. Submarine, I think, is back involved this week as a staple for a little subby, a little chip. And sometimes we throw in something else as well. But OB is a diehard of all diehards. Ham's the same way. Kaz is the most rational. And
are you ever scared at any point?
No, I'm scared the whole time.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
You don't want to. You don't want to. There's guys you don't want to cross. I mean, Dan Long's here on most Sundays, if not all of them.
He's just smirking there in the producer booth.
So I mean, Dan will come in, grab his food.
Do you produce the Bears, or is that the Geezer situation?
Well, Dan's doing a bunch of highlights and all the other
production work. Doing some production work.
Essential parts of the broadcast. Who are you most afraid of, Dan?
It's tough. I gotta go OB just because he's the most old school guy.
Yeah, like he'll just take you out.
But he's a teddy bear though. Yeah. OB is
a great guy. All great guys.
Man. Yeah, just,
they're football players. They're that are large.
Right.
Every time I see Hampton, I'm like, you're bigger than what I remembered.
He's a big boy.
Like every time I see him, like you're taller than I remember. You're bigger.
Well, and little Dan, his son comes around as well, and he's.
I saw him at the Bears game a couple weeks ago.
He ain't that little.
He's Dan Hampton version, 2.0.
Right. I think little Dan is a freshman this year.
He's not so little.
He is not little at all. Okay, let's.
Real quickly, I want to mention because we haven't talked about this much. The Houston Astros return home this weekend. They played a doubleheader yesterday against the Mets. They took Friday off, which I think was. Much deserved. The Houston Astros were on the West Coast playing the Angels. Hurricane Harvey hit. They weren't able to fly to Houston, so they went from L.A. to Arlington,
mm-hmm.
Dallas area. Had to wait and see, what's going to come of the flooding and all of that. Flew to Florida, played at a neutral site against the Rangers.
That was interesting.
Meaning the players didn't go home. While their families were evacuees, like a lot of them. I mean, just because they're professional athletes doesn't mean they're immune to what's happening. Same goes for the Houston Texans. Finally, they just took off Friday. I believe most of them were able to get home, get back to their friends and family, make sure everybody's okay. So instead of playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they played two yesterday at Minute Maid Park. Astros won both, and then today they beat the Mets again for a sweep.
Here's an integrity question for you around that.
Yeah.
I got a buddy who lived in Houston.
Okay.
He recently moved out. He was selling his house, and he had a deal signed, and then there was a roof issue. So the buyer bailed out. Long story short, he thought he was going to get crushed. But now he goes, he fixes the roof, and the timing was, like, incredibly lucky. I mean, he basically was going to have a ruined house, but, like, he got the roof fixed, like, 2 days before the hurricane. He gets the roof fixed, and now there's a lot of people in Houston who don't have anywhere to live, and they want to stay in Houston. And Houston's a very wealthy town, a large parts of it, huge oil money down there, big dough. So now he's got this sweet house with a perfectly brand new roof. People don't have anywhere to live, and his place never flooded, so it's worth a lot more. And do you cash in and actually charge, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a moral thing there.
Well, it's a little different. Like, I think that's okay because that's like a home purchase. It's not like some jerk selling a case of water for $50.
Right.
You know, it's a little different because anybody, like, no one's just going to do a desperation buy of a home, you know what I mean, where people, like, well, of course, you need places to live and things like that, but people can find shelter. It's a little different than the price gouging you've seen from some people that were trying to,
right.
You know, charge, you know, $50 for a gallon of gas or something like that, or ripping people off for a bottle of water. I think it'd be okay to.
He's making money off the hurricane,
but it makes sense. Like that's like some of these homes that are on low levels, like that are prone to it, obviously are going to sell for much less, and people are still going to buy it even after all of this.
I'll get back to you on if he actually made a lot more dough on that in that situation. But
how did his house not flood? Just where he was? He got lucky? His whole neighborhood was okay? Or?
The neighborhood was fine. Little Sugarland, Texas, survived.
Wow.
So, another thing with Houston, the Astros went out and made the trade for Justin Verlander.
Yes.
Who was rumored to the Cubs, obviously, for a long time.
And he was rumored to the Astros for a long time.
He desperately wanted to come here. His agent was doing everything that he possibly could to get Verlander to the Cubs. I know this 100%.
Okay.
Cubs didn't want to...
They have nothing left to deal.
Well, I don't think it was...
It was more of taking the money.
They didn't want to take the money.
The Cubs really need Verlander, though?
I don't... That's the question.
I don't think they need Verlander, although Verlander's been great since the All-Star break.
And he's a money guy in the postseason.
Is he, though?
Well, he's...
I mean, look at his postseason record.
It's pretty solid. His ERA is well under four. He's not perfect, but he's pitched pretty well in the postseason.
Okay, but you look at the Cubs' rotation right now. It's fine. The Cubs' rotation's been dominant since the All-Star break, Carm.
You're not worried about John Lester?
No, there's some uneasiness.
You're not worried about a Jose Quintana? You're not worried about Kyle Hendricks?
Not so much, no. And you look at what Arrieta's been doing.
Arrieta is the man who was named the National League Pitcher of the Month, and he's your Jake Arrieta is 100% your opening day playoff starter. He's starting game one.
Yeah, no question.
That's a lock. NL Pitcher of the Month in August. Stats are incredible. 37 and a third innings, 5 quality starts, ERA 1.21 in those 37 and a third, struck out 37. The guy's been, no one thought he was going to get back to this level except for Jake Arrieta and maybe Chris Bosio, but he's done it.
I mean, John Lester was fine in his first start back off the DL. I mean, he wasn't great, but I mean, start, 4 runs over 5 innings. Okay, but he still was able to pitch 94 pitches.
Wynn was blown out, but he gave up 3 homers.
I think whatever.
Against the Braves.
Okay, I don't think there's a whole lot of concern there.
Really? I mean, he's starting game two all day. And if Arrieta is what he is right now and Lester's healthy, they got a great chance. They have a great chance to do it again, despite how great the Dodgers are and the fact that the Nationals haven't been losing, except when they just ran into the Brewers and lost 3 of 4. Which you got to give Milwaukee credit, man. Milwaukee right now is looking like they might be the second wild card team. Colorado's falling apart.
They have a shot there. Right now it's looking like Cubs start week one of the postseason, NLDS in D.C.
D.C.
First weekend they'll be playing the Nationals. The Dodgers will play either Arizona, Colorado, or, as you mentioned, Milwaukee.
Even
I'm thinking Cubs, Dodgers, NLCS rematch.
I think Milwaukee's going to pass up Colorado. And I don't want to give the Cardinals any credit, but they're not completely done. They're only 4 back of the wild card. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think the Brewers got a great shot here. And, of course, there's 3. The Cubs could basically wrap up the division this week. Now, they still got to go to Milwaukee 4 times and still got to go to St. Louis 4 times, and they're only up 3.5. But if they have a big weekend against the Brewers next weekend, i.e. sweeping them, I mean, it'd have to be big. They basically could wrap up the division this week. I don't think that's going to happen, but they could. The other side of it is that it could get real interesting. And I've been paying attention to the wild card. Like, if they don't win the division, are they better than the Rockies? And right now they've got the lead on Colorado. So if worse came to worse and the Brewers got super hot and the Cubs played 500 ball, I still think they get in as a wild card team. They're not going to be better than Arizona, though. Arizona's been red hot lately. Hottest team in baseball. And the Indians are red hot, too. 11 in a row for Cleveland. Rematch, World Series, K-Pal, Karam on the road. I'm feeling it.
I think both of the AL and NL, I don't think there's a... I know in the NL everyone says the Dodgers, 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 but like, really? The Cubs just won the World Series. Like, I think everybody's afraid of the Cubs in the National League.
It's a 91 Dodger team, though, right? Going to be 115, 120 wins.
Kershaw comes back.
Pitched
dominant.
It looks
solid. They had him on a pitch count limit, and he still made it through, I think, 6 innings. Gave up like 4 hits, no runs. Guy's a monster.
312-981-7200 as we're wrapping it up here with a little baseball. And actually, before we hand off to Brian Noonan, I got one Bulls nugget for you.
Can't wait.
I know you're excited. Well, the franchise nearly went down, but he's healthy and he looks good. So we got a little baseball and a little Bulls to wrap it up here. Coming on back, 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Richard Roper's playing poker.
Richard Roper, big poker player.
Is he on this particular poker show?
CSN Chicago action, yes.
Ropey's on CSN Chicago.
Unless they've moved to another table. I saw Roper on TV.
I love poker.
I love Roper.
No. Love Roper and a poker. All right. Let's get to the big news of today. Huge news, team.
Huge.
The Chicago Bulls, who still play basketball in this town, Kevin Powell, despite your disdain for
trading Jimmy Butler, horrendous move by Garpax. Reason number 4,378 why both of them should be fired.
Kind of had to do it, but I feel the pain. I got you. Lauri Markkanen, number 7 overall pick. He's playing in the Euro basketball tournament yesterday. Goes down last play of the game. He's on the ground. He's writhing in pain. He's grabbing his calf. The future of the Bulls was he was down. There was trouble. But Markkanen got up, and today, playing for Finland, epic double overtime victory as they beat Poland in the FIBA Euro basketball tournament. So we have learned that Markkanen, who had 29 points today, 9 rebounds, huge plays down the stretch, Finland 90, and Poland 87. Markkanen is showing that he can bounce back from getting knocked down. Markkanen's going big, trailing by 5 with 50 seconds left in regulation. Finland watched Markkanen force a 5-second violation, sink 3 free throws, get fouled on a 3-pointer, then he sunk the free throws. He stole the inbounds pass. He forced the first overtime with a dunk, and then the 7-footer forced the second overtime when he dropped in a fadeaway jumper. I'm reading from the Chicago Tribune here. Smaller defender on him. He averaged 24-3 in the stellar competition, Markkanen. And he got hurt, and he came back. Lauri Markkanen, Bulls. Are you excited, Kevin?
If I was watching, I would have been pulling for Team Poland.
so much disdain.
I get excited about it.
I'm just.
Bulls won't win a championship for at least a decade.
Cameron Payne, another foot surgery.
5 years, maybe.
No, I mean the Bulls.
They're a mess. They're garbage.
You realize that Mike retired in '98. It's 2017. We're going 20 years now, and they've won one Eastern Conference Finals playoff game.
Can we talk about something that interests me much, much more than the Chicago Bulls?
Yes, but I think it's important that we cover the Lauri Markkanen. I think there's, yeah. I know, judging by the text line reaction right now, which is huge, that people needed to know about Markkanen.
No one even knows who Lauri Markkanen is.
Do you know who Lauri Markkanen is? 312-981-7200.
Ask somebody walking by right now if they know who Lauri Markkanen is.
You want me, really? For real?
Yeah. Let's see if we...
Hang on a second here.
That guy looks like John Paxson right
Do you know who Lauri Markkanen is?
You got the wrong pot up. Forget it. Nobody knows who he is.
I just hit the thing. Dan Long racing out here to help me with my technical... I just turned that on there.
Well, let's take a pop quiz of people walking down Michigan Avenue.
Now it'll work?
You had the reverb. Okay, here we go. This is Michigan Avenue. Excuse me, can you come over to the microphone? Ma'am, can you step over here to the microphone?
Do you know who Lauri Markkanen is? Sir, do you know who Lauri Markkanen is?
No clue.
No clue. I told you.
Does anybody know who Lauri Markkanen is? Lauri Markkanen. No?
No, he's nodding his head saying no.
Do you think he plays football, baseball, or basketball?
Don't care.
Why not? Where are you from?
Florida.
All right. Well, yeah, you're not a sports guy. I get it.
Nobody knows who Lauri Markkanen is. Let's see if we can find a Chicagoan. It's a little touristy around here in Chicago on Michigan Avenue.
Have you ever heard of Jay Cutler?
Yes.
Sir.
Chicago.
Yeah. What about...
Sir,
do you know
me,
who
Lauri
Markkanen? Anybody Lauri Markkanen? No Lauri Markkanen? And this is a real radio, by the way. This is happening.
Nobody knows who Lauri Markkanen is. Ma'am, excuse me, ma'am. Can you come over here to the studio? Sir, in the green shirt. In the green shirt. Can you come over here real quick?
Come talk to WGN Radio.
No, they're not having it. Okay, forget it. Lauri Markkanen, nobody cares who he is. Here's a story you sent me a couple days ago, Mark Carmen, that interests me. Ed Cunningham, a former NFL player, resigned as a college football analyst for ESPN and ABC in his prime of his broadcasting career.
You go, Ed. dude was making dough as a football announcer, just retired. Why did he retire, Kevin?
Says he couldn't stand watching players continue to harm themselves after he's read report after report after report about the head trauma and the effects that it can have on your brain.
Played college football, played in the NFL, played with Dave Duerson, who took his own life.
Says he can't watch a sport. The NFL's making millions of dollars. Says he can't stand watching a sport that potentially could turn grown men into walking vegetables. That's how he put it. Your thoughts on this?
That's a tough one, man.
I give him a ton of respect. Like, that's a lot to leave your career. I just don't know. This is sort of a poor comparison because, like, is a news reporter going to quit their job because they can't stand covering murders or things like that? Maybe some people do.
He feels like he's promoting the product, though, and he doesn't want to promote it. My thing is, and I respect Ed's decision.
I respect it. I just don't.
But
I don't understand it. But I'm not in his shoes, so I give him a ton of props.
What I would say to Ed is this. And by the way, Brian Noonan, if you're listening, you can come in at any time. We have no more breaks. We love doing crosstalk with you. So if you're listening, please enter the studio. But what I would say this about Ed: no one is making guys play football. And no one is unaware that football is dangerous.
Yeah, at this point, I think everybody knows the dangers of football. Now, and to the full effects. Like, people can just be like, yeah, I know it's bad for me, or like, it's bad for my child to be playing, but, you know, maybe they don't know all the details. Maybe they haven't seen it up front.
My dad, Papa Fred, was born in 1925. He's going to be 92 years old in December.
Monster.
Huge. Papa Fred played high school football for Marshall High School on the west side back in the day.
Big time.
Now, his mother, Mary, who I'm named after, Mark Mary, you know what she told Papa Fred, her son, her one son? My dad's an only child. You're not playing football. It's too dangerous.
So you weren't allowed to play football. Did you ever want to play football?
Oh, I was.
Oh, she told your dad this.
She told my dad in 1942. And you're not playing football. It's too dangerous. You guys get tackled and you go down. You get hurt. You're going to break your leg. You're going to break your arm. Everyone has known that football's been dangerous forever. And I get that the head thing is different. And people didn't realize that you're going to have huge potential issues after the game. But, you know, the thought was that maybe you'd walk around like OB walks around now. Just hurt up. You want me to ask more marketing questions? You know, that you would be physically damaged, not mentally. But we've always known that football's dangerous. So to Ed's point that he doesn't want to call the game anymore, no one's telling these guys they got to play.
That's accurate. I'm with you there. I mean, I'm just really interested to see. I mean, we've already seen it here locally. Highland Park District canceled the football season. Not enough participants.
Is that true?
This is true.
No Highland Park High School football?
No, not high school football. The lower levels.
Okay.
Like Highland Park, I mean, Park District.
That's my team. I didn't know
canceled
that.
The youth football program because not enough participants signed up. So I'm just interested to see like how all these reports and studies will impact like the actual amount of kids playing football. Like, what's the future of the game? I think the NFL, the first thing they need to admit that it is a dangerous sport. You know, they just keep kicking the can down the road, trying to implement rules that are making the game safer.
Yeah, nobody.
If all the reports you've read about CTE, and it's not necessarily concussions and the big hits that we see, which the NFL is trying to get rid of these, you know, massive hits, but it's repetitive blow. It's the lineman every single play smacking heads together.
Right.
You know, so like you have to basically change the sport entirely if they're trying to make it completely safe, which it never will be. But that's what they have to admit to it. I mean, boxing's still around. That's just part of the sport. That's part of the reason I like the sport. I don't know if people probably don't want to hear, but I like the violent nature of football. I loved it as a kid. I wanted to put the pads on. I wanted to hit people.
People like to do dangerous things.